I count it a privilege this morning to be here with you. Thank you so very much for letting me come. It was somewhat of a short notice, and I had to do some rearranging, but I'm thankful that I'm able to be here. I'm thankful that Brother Virgil is feeling better, and I'm sorry about my other good friend, Brother Frank Johnson, who has had some heart issues, but Brother Brant said he was doing much better now. So we're thankful for all of that. And to be very honest with you, we never know that when it could be one of us, young or old. And so we're just thankful for the blessing of God toward us, and in a wonderful way met together here, as our brother has said, to offer up our praise and adoration to the Lord Jesus. So many times in the Bible, when we began to read it, and throughout all the 66 books, you began to read from Genesis 1 to the last verse of Revelation chapter 22. Involved in that canon of scripture is all the revealed truth of God. Today we hear some say, well, I have a new revelation. Well, I affirm to you today, there is no new revelation. We may discover new things in the Bible. We may understand some things we've not understood, but there is no new revelation. This is what I called a closed book. And because of that, Paul could tell Timothy that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And then he tells us what it is profitable for. There's not a better definition of the purpose of the gospel than that particular verse. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for reproof, for correction in righteousness, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good work. No better definition of the purpose of the gospel is found in all the books of the Bible than that. And yet, there are new things, new truths that, even though we understand some of them, will still remain when we're gone. But I'm thankful God has given us enough light this morning that we can see and grow in the things of God. Now, if this is true, and I affirm that it is, then I want to carry you back this morning to a time after that Jesus was crucified, and yet they still speak the same truth that they read in the Psalms centuries before the Lord was born. And this was done on the day of Pentecost. Remember that the word Pentecost means 50. Jesus Christ appeared on the earth in many occasions, in many ways, and to various people. But 50 days after the resurrection, Pentecost came. And as Pentecost came, this was a direct revelation being fulfilled from Joel chapter 2. And throughout all the prophecies of the Old Testament concerning the life and work and successful completion of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who made sacrifice to the Father in order that you and I might be reconciled to God. Now, there was a problem that existed between us and a holy God who demanded perfection. God had to be satisfied, and man had to be reconciled. Now, that was the barrier that existed between us and our Heavenly Father. God demanded perfection that you and I could not meet and be reconciled.
Amen, brother.
But now we find that even though that was talked about in the Old Testament, they never received the complete revelation of that until after his ascension into heaven. The only proof that Jesus Christ was who he said he was is that he was raised from the dead in accordance with the Scripture. That's the only proof that he was who he said he was. Romans chapter 1, read it, verses 1 through 4. But now on the day of Pentecost, we find that old brother Peter stood up and in a wonderful sermon, he began to preach, and I want you to notice the terminology that he uses, and beginning with verse 17 of Acts chapter 2. Now, Pentecost now has come, and the Bible says fully come, Acts chapter 2 and verse 1, and there were Jews out of every nation that were in one accord in one place. And then something miraculous happened. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And the Bible says, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues, or divided tongues, like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues, not unknown tongues now. Doesn't say that. Doesn't mean that. But they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, or Spirit gave them power. Now I want you to notice who this was working with. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews. Get this now. Devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now, this was a strange thing. And when all of this began to roll out like a carpet, there were many there that, as they heard these people speak with other tongues and about the wonderful works of God, they were all amazed and were in doubt. I guess I'd have been in doubt too. I wouldn't have known what was taking place, because it was something that had never taken place before. And as they were all amazed, they began to say one to another, listen to this now, what meaneth this? Mm-hmm. What does this mean? What's taking place here? And some of them even mocked. I mean, made fun of what was taking place here. Mocking, they said, these men are full of new wine.
Yeah.
They're drunk. New wine has a different effect than aged wine. New wine is more toxic to the system. And you understand this, that here they were, and they knew the effect of new wine. It wasn't any strange thing to them. Everybody there understood that. But these men are full of new wine. And for once, Peter did something right. But Peter standing up with the 11. Now remember, Judas has already committed suicide, and there's only 11 men there. Only 11 men saw the ascension into heaven. Jesus carried these 11 men with him out to the Mount of Olives. 11 men is all that was there. Now he appeared to 500 men after his resurrection, but only 11 men saw the ascension into heaven. Peter stood up and said with the 11, he says, "Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken unto my words." He makes it a special point to say, listen to me right now. These men are not drunken, as you suppose, as it appears, seeing it was the third hour of the day. Yes. Remember, those men of Judea could not take wine before the sixth hour. Couldn't do it. Against the law. It's the third hour of the day. It's unlawful for them to do that. Couldn't take wine till the sixth hour. All right, listen to it now. "These men are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day." And here's the most important thing I'll say this morning. "But this is that." Yeah. Whenever you see a "this is that" in the New Testament, it is a fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. Yeah. "This is that." It's not what it seems, but "this is that which was" what? "Spoken of by the prophet Joel." Yeah. "That it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, that I will pour out my spirit." You can read all of this again in Joel chapter 2, beginning with verse 28. Just what I told you a while ago. What was going to happen? What was going to take place? So everything was unfolding, not by accident, not by the terms of men coming together, but everything was coming together, unfolding, and being shown to these that were there, just as God had ordained it in the ancients of eternity. All right, now, he says this. Brother Peter stands up again. Listen to it. Verse 22. "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know." You know what I'm talking about. God Almighty has shown you this by this man, and you saw it. He's calling their attention to what he said in the book of the prophets. "Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God." Brother, I want you to know today that when the Bible says "him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God," he's saying that it could not have been another way. No other way. "Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain." During this time of the year, next Sunday is Easter, and We don't know exactly all the days and everything about that, but I tell you one thing, brother, if the resurrection is not true whenever it was, we're wasting our time this morning.
Amen.
We're wasting our time this morning. Peter said it like this. He said, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God ye have taken, and by wicked hand you crucified and did slay him. Then he starts another new thought. Whom God hath raised up. Don't you like that? Whom God hath raised up.
Amen.
Having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holding of it. I like that terminology. It was not possible that death could hold him. It was not possible that the devil could have his way. It was not possible for it to be any other way. That's not fatalism, brother. That's just Bible.
Amen.
God Almighty had ordained that. Now take the Bible and meet any man anywhere to disprove what Brother Peter said right here on the day of Pentecost. I affirm to you from the bottom of my soul that it is truth then, it is truth today, and God caused my tongue to cleave to the roof of my mouth if I ever forget that wonderful truth.
Yeah. Amen, brother.
Whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holding of it. For David speaketh. Now Joel spoke, now David's going to speak. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord. The Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. My tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul. This is Jesus speaking now through the mouth of David. Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. I'll tell you right now, this man, when you and I die, I buried a great sister yesterday down at Sneed's Crossroads, and they'd had to keep her out for a number of days because some children were overseas. And I'll tell you, that body that we placed in the ground at Old Gibbs Chapel Cemetery had begun to decay and see corruption. But a day, I'll tell you, God Almighty said that it was not possible that he should see corruption.
Yeah.
For he was to be raised from the dead and shown alive unto many witnesses. Now he says this. He says, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. This is David speaking of Christ. Neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he's both dead and that he's buried, and we know where his sepulchre is to this day. Therefore, he being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn in an oath. Brother, I'll tell you right now, you can understand this, because God swore and took an oath. It cannot be undone. The oath of a king is irrevocable. And I tell you this today, that the king of all worlds, the king who sits in judgment over all his creation, the king today says, my desire, my determination will not be and cannot be revoked.
Yeah.
Now, he says it like this. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. Where did that very line come from? The Lord Jesus Christ proceeded from the very line of David, didn't he? Proceeded from that very line. And God was to raise him up as true and fruitful evidence that he was who he said he was. Let's get this one point right here. That he would raise up Christ. Christ to sit on his throne.
Yeah.
What we hear today, that he's going to come back and stay 1,000 years, doesn't he? I want to tell you right now, then he's going to sit on his throne over in Jerusalem. I want to tell you right now, the Bible said he ain't coming back to sit on his throne, but he was raised up to sit on his throne. Raised up to sit on his throne. He's not going to come back and set up a kingdom. He did set up his kingdom. He set it up here for you and for me. And then he went back and gave us rules to judge in his kingdom.
Yeah.
I affirm to you today when he told his followers and in that inner circle that he had, he said, as my Father hath appointed unto me a kingdom, I also appoint unto you a kingdom that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. I'll tell you, the kingdom's not coming, the kingdom's here. He didn't raise up Christ to have him to come back down and sit on his throne. He raised him up to sit on the throne. And today, that king sits on a throne because he's raised up for that very purpose. Listen to it now. Raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He sing this before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell. And here the word hell means grave. Neither his flesh did see corruption. His flesh did not corrupt like mine and yours will if we die a natural death. This Jesus has God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. They saw him.
Yeah.
After his resurrection. To be an apostle of the Lord Jesus, one had to be a witness of the risen Savior. That was a prerequisite. He had to be a witness of the risen Savior. And he said, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. You see what he said here? He said, what's happening here? The Lord Jesus said, what you are seeing is what I promised. And Peter said, what you're seeing here is what the Lord has promised in his word.
Yeah.
There'll never be another day like Pentecost. Somebody says, well, we can have a Pentecost every time we come to church. Oh, no. Oh, no. That was one thing, one time.
Yeah.
One thing, one time. It'll never be repeated anymore. Now, it's not that we don't feel the Holy Spirit. It's not that we don't rejoice under the influence of the Holy Spirit. But a day like this, this was that was prophesied of by the prophet Joel. Never be another day like that again.
No.
Then he says, therefore, being by the right hand exalted and having received the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which ye do now see and hear. For David is not ascended into heaven. David's not been raised yet. But he said to himself, Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Now, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that this same Jesus whom you've crucified, God hath made him both Lord and Christ. Oh, what a statement that is. I want you to go with me to the 4th chapter of the book of Acts and notice again what the writer, Dr. Luke, leaves to us here. Now, I want you to understand that the disciples now have been imprisoned, some of them. Some of them have been testifying of the grace of God. And I tell you one thing, that when those people saw, Brother Virgil, what was going on there, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were ignorant and unlearned men.
Yeah.
But they took knowledge of them.
Yeah.
That they had been with Jesus. Oh, brother, I'll tell you today, when that comes around and we're able to be blessed to see that, to take knowledge of what this says, those folks there saw what took place and they perceived. It looked like they were ignorant and unlearned men. But he says, but they took knowledge of them. They come to the conclusion. They come to the conclusion that the Bible says they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. You know, I'd like to have that experience.
Yes.
I'd just like to have that experience, to be with Jesus, to be with him. Now, it's not that I've ever saw him. I never have. Now, there have been a few times when I was in service of God trying to preach, Brother Virgil, I feel like I could almost reach up and touch his hand. But then I'll tell you, there's other times when I didn't feel like he was in a half a mile of the building. Yeah. You know, I mean, that was what I'm saying here. But these men actually saw, heard, these men actually witnessed what they were now preaching about. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. But you know what they told them? Don't go out and preach this no more. don't go out and preach this no more, and we'll turn you out. Well, they turned them out of prison. You know what? They went back over there and told the king. They out there at it again. They're standing down. They're preaching again. They're right back doing what we told them not to do. And you know what they did? They called on them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. Acts 4:18. Now here's the folks in charge. Look, don't you speak and don't you teach about this man anymore. But Peter and John answered and said to him, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, you judge. Is it right for us to hearken unto you, or is it right for us to hearken unto God? We've seen him. We've seen him. We don't know if we're just right about it, but you judge that. What would you do? I'll tell you, it wouldn't take me but a bat's eye to understand, to tell them what it was, and it didn't them. Listen. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how that they might punish them because of the people. You know, they were afraid of the people.
Yeah.
They were afraid of the people. They really were. You know, this was not any ordinary group of people. There were authorities there. There were people there that understood what the law said. They understood and executed judgment in their positions, but they were afraid of them. They were, these people here that threatened them were afraid of the people, so they let them go. For all men glorified God for that which was done. Listen. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. You know, he just healed a man over 40 years old. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chiefs and the elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God which hath made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. You see what they did? They acknowledged the creatorship of God Almighty in all things, everywhere, in every age. That's what they were preaching. And I'll tell you today, that's still good thinking.
Yeah.
That's still, we live in an age where men have really arrived.
Yeah.
We live in an age where education is at its highest level. Our state legislature just the other day passed the largest education budget in history, and one of the largest in the United States, $13.9 billion. I was down there when it done. $13.9 billion. Not, that's B, with a B. $13.9 billion. I can't tell you what Georgia's is. I used to know, but I can find out in just a minute. I know what Alabama's is, $13.9 with a B, billion. Now, I'm not knocking education. I wished I had more than I've got. I'm not knocking teaching. I wished I had more than I got. I went to school to be a teacher. But I want to tell you right now, there is a higher teaching than what men can get with a degree. Amen?
Yeah.
There is a teaching that men can do. There is a teaching that men can promote. But I want to tell you right now, it has to do with the powers of persuasion. It has the powers to do with numerous circumstances and the personalities of different people. And the Bible says this, that they began to lift up their voice in one accord, and they acknowledged the creatorship of God, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why doth the heathen rave? Now you want to read this in Psalms 2? This is where it comes from.
Yeah.
He's quoting what David said. Why do the people rage and the people imagine vain things? Get this very closely now. The kings of the earth stood up, and they did. The rulers were gathered together against the Lord. Yes, they were. And against his Christ. Yes, they were. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou had anointed. That word anointed means ordained. Notice that. Against the holy child Jesus, whom thou hast ordained or anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate and the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. I want to tell you, the odds wasn't in his favor, was it? The odds wasn't in his favor. If I'd have been a betting man, brother, there ain't no way I'd have laid a dollar on that situation. No, sir. He hadn't got a prayer in judgment, in circumstance. It's just not there. You ain't got the cards.
No.
You ain't got the cards. But he says this. Herod, Pontius Pilate, the Gentiles, the people of Israel, they were gathered against him. Why? Why? Notice how the next verse starts, verse 28. For. F-O-R. You know what that means? Because.
Yeah.
Because. Because this was done because they were to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to tell you right now, brother, there is, Mama says, the flat out truth.
Yeah.
To do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel before determined to be done. And now, Lord, behold the threatenings, and grant unto us, thy servants, that with all boldness they may speak thy word.
Yeah.
Here's the word that came. The church now had power that it had never had. It began to be preached. Jesus told his own disciples before he left. He said, you tarry at Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. They were to remain there this very time. And then they were to receive their instructions to go and to preach. Go with me to Acts, to the book of Mark chapter 16. And notice the terminology here. In Mark chapter 16, the Bible tells us this. And this is very, very important. And I'll let you go in about 6 or 8 minutes. But now notice what the Bible says. And now Christ is being crucified. He's now being carried to the cross. And all the things that God had ordained now are being fulfilled. Listen, the Bible says in Mark chapter 15, beginning with verse 1, and straightway in the morning the chief priests held a consultation, that is, they talked with the elders,
and the scribes and the whole council and bound Jesus and carried him away. Now, you see, all of this now is being revealed. And Pilate asked him, "Art thou the King of the Jews? Art thou the King of the Jews?" And he answering said unto him, "Thou sayest it." Thou said it. Art thou the King of the Jews? I don't have to say it. You've already said it.
Yeah.
Now he says, the chief priest accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. Not one thing in defense did he say. Pilate answered him again, saying, "Answerest thou nothing? Don't you have anything to say? Behold, now many things they witness against you." This is what they're saying. "Don't you have anything to say?" But Jesus yet answered nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. And Pilate marveled. Why is this man not defending himself? Now, at that feast, he released unto them one prisoner, whomsoever they desired. And there was one named Barabbas, which lay down with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder, insurrection. And the multitude crying aloud began to say unto him to do. And the Bible says, as he had never done unto them. But Pilate answered, saying, "Will ye release unto you the King of the Jews? Is that what you want me to do?" For they knew that the chief priest had delivered him for envy. For envy, not for guilt, for envy. But the chief priest moved the people. Here they are again, thinking of the people, that he should rather release Barabbas. And Pilate answered and said again unto them, "What will ye then that I should do unto him whom ye call the King of the Jews?" And they said, and cried out again, "Crucify him." I want to tell you today, and I don't want to depress you or disturb you. All of you plus I, we stand as Barabbas.
Yeah.
Yeah, we stand as Barabbas. How so, preacher? Because the innocent victim was crucified and a prisoner went free.
Yeah.
We stand as Barabbas. We stand as Barabbas. And they, the Bible said, and I'll wind this down, and as they began to go through these motions, they looked at Christ on the cross. Simon the Cyrenian was there. And they passed by and they wagged their heads. They wagged their heads, saying, "Ah, thou that destroyest the temple, will ye build it again in 3 days? Jesus had told them back over there when those liars and hypocrites approached him. He said, "You tear this temple down, and I'll build it again in 3 days.
Yeah.
They didn't have sense enough to know he's talking about his body, not that temple at Jerusalem. Talking about his body.
Yeah.
"You tear this temple again, and I'll raise it in 3 days." And they brought it up again right here. Said, "Now you destroyed the temple. You're going to destroy it. You're going to raise it again in 3 days. Save thyself. Come down from the cross." And the chief priest, mocking, said the same thing. "He saved others, but he himself, he cannot say." You know, there's a lot of truth in what they said. Jesus Christ could not come down from the cross. Why, preacher? Because he was oath bound.
Yeah.
He was oath bound to remain there, to fulfill the will of the Father and be seen as the determining factor of the counsel and the will and the predeterminate counsel of God. Now he says this. The Bible says, and I'm going to make a long story short and skip some things here. And Jesus now has cried out unto the Father, and for a small moment, God forsook him. And when evening was come, because it was the preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly to Pilate and craved, asked for the body of Jesus. And Pilate marveled if he was already dead. He didn't think he was dead. He marveled. And calling unto him the centurion, he asked him, "Is this man dead?" And when he knew of the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. He believed that centurion.
Yeah.
He was an officer of 100 men. If he lied to him, it was his death. So he gave the body to Joseph of Arimathea. And he brought fine linen, took him down, wrapped him in the linen that's called a winding sheet, and laid him in the sepulcher, was hewn out of the rock, and a stone rolled upon the door. And Mary Magdalene, the Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of Jesus, beheld that he was there lame. They saw it. Now the Sabbath day is past. Mary Magdalene, the mother of James, and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome had brought spices to anoint the body. And as entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a white garment, and they were afraid. What was that young man? He was an angel. An angel. Angels in the Bible are depicted as men. Here was a young man. The others call him an angel. One even says there's two angels sitting at the head and foot of where Jesus lay. But here was a young man. Here was a young man in a long white garment. They were afraid. And he said unto them, "Don't be afraid. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. But he's risen. He's not here. But come and see where the Lord lay." Come in here and look. He's not here. He's risen. But he said, "Behold the place where they laid him."
Yeah.
He is here, but he's not here now. But he said, "Even though you won't see him, you go your way and you tell his disciples and Peter." Now I wondered, wasn't Peter a disciple? He was. But I'm going to tell you right now, he said, "You tell the disciples and Peter." He specified to him, "You tell Peter that he goes before into Galilee, and there you'll see him as he said to you already before all this took place." And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulcher, for they trembled and were amazed, and neither said anything to any man, for they were afraid. Now when Jesus was risen early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast 7 devils. You know, that's strange, isn't it? He looked like he'd appeared to his mother or the disciples. They didn't do that, Brother Virgil. He doesn't do things like we do it. He appeared to that woman whom he cast 7 devils out of.
Yeah.
First one. And she went and told them that she'd been with him. And they mourned and wept. And when they had heard he was alive and had been seen after her, what was their reaction? "We're shouting happy." No, sir. They believed not. They believed not. That's exactly what it says. That's what it means in English, Greek, Mexican, or anything else. They did not believe it.
Yeah.
They didn't believe it. So I want to tell you right now, even the disciples didn't believe what the preacher back there. They had a doubting mind. They had a doubting mind. Now the real things come up and still don't believe. The Bible says that after he appeared in another form to 2 of them, as they walked and went into the country, they went and told it unto the residue, or that is the remainder of the people that was there, and they didn't believe. They didn't believe. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat. They were eating supper. And he upbraided them because their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen from the dead. Brother, I want to tell you right now, and the rest of it, there is another subject, but I want to tell you one thing. These men were actual witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ being raised. Women saw him. The woman whom he had cast seven devils out of saw him. You were set free, and an innocent victim stood in your place. You, like Barabbas, have been given a gift that you didn't ask for nor deserve.
That's right.
You've been made free from the guilt that would have doomed you and damned you in hell.
Yeah.
Because your legal representative has said, I take all they owe upon me. The debt rests on my shoulders, and I'm not only a willing redeemer, but I'm also an able redeemer. I'm willing to do it, and I'm able to do it. And thank God today, that just didn't come about by accident. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Isn't that wonderful to believe in a God who, before the world began, now ordered that a sin debt be paid before a sin debt ever existed. And how wonderful that is today. That's what our people have always believed.
Yeah.
And I tell you, it's still a good old story, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's still a good old story. The church is built on the foundation of that great revelation. And today, if you're here and you believe these things, then you come. And while we sing some familiar hymn, we give you the opportunity to take up your cross and take your place in the church of God as the Lord Jesus has authorized. Sing when you're ready, brother.